Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Like it's going to another interview. Jimmy, I love it.
Good, man. Jimmy looks good. So tonight is Whiskey Stars and Cigars, and we'll get things on. And we have a stage out there, and we'll do some sports talk and some fun. And Joe Rose and Leroy Horde, Brendan Tobin, the entire cast will be here. And we'll have some time every week. So let's get a quick look at the headlines. With Solana.
Hawk, actually, Dan's letting me know that our audio is cutting in and out, so I'm going to go track down an engineer. I apologize for throwing that wrench into the show here.
How bad is the audio, Dan? Do we need to play something?
Right now, it has come back, but there were points where it wasn't even like Wayne's World where you're going,
We can't hear him at all. Oh, there it is. Okay.
All right. So I don't know how much internet it is, but it wasn't even like Wayne's World where you're going dip, dop, dip, dop. It was like long periods of just nothing. And I didn't touch anything because you know me, I'm not a toucher. So I don't know what the deal is. I'm hoping Solana can figure it out. But right now, you seem to be good.
Do we know that about him, that he's not a toucher? Or are we just learning that for the first time?
I haven't touched him like that before. So I got nothing.
Just
there.
Asking. Seems like everything's corrected here, Solana. So hopefully everything's fine. I'm imagining it's just a little lag on the internet, on our feed from Tabacón out there. But let's do headlines. And what we can do, here's our backup plan, Dan. If things go south here, I was even going to think about doing this in the 5 o'clock hour regardless because of all the McRib news today. The McRib will be back on December 3rd, and they're selling gallon jugs of McRib sauce, which I'm so excited for. In the event that our signal goes haywire, we can listen to Mike Cugno eating his first and only McRib ever on the air from a couple of years ago. So we'll do that if things go south here.
Truly a major achievement in the history of this show.
That to get got, him
oh yeah.
to do that, because Mike Cugno does not eat anything unhealthy.
I feel like he doesn't eat anything, period.
Doesn't eat much, period. But the thought, now that we know him for years, the thought that we were able to get him to eat a McRib sandwich is truly amazing.
Yeah, you probably set him back mentally years over
He has
that.
Not recovered.
No.
He has not recovered. So anyway, maybe we'll play that a little bit later on if things go south or just for fun. All right, let's get a quick look at the headlines here with Solana while we wait for Rob Pizzola to join us.
You've had Mike Cugno do a couple things that I didn't think he was literally physically capable of doing.
Shamrock Shake.
Won't do it. Shamrock Shake, but you also had Mike Cugno go to a Boston Market drive-thru to order macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, I think we had him drink the Grimace Shake, too, didn't we?
He did.
Yeah. He's a gamer.
It's amazing his body just didn't just reject it immediately on the spot.
I think it did. He's a gamer. He really is. All right, quick look at the headlines while we wait for Pizzola to log in and join us.
All right. Please don't lash out at me for reading headlines that somebody may have heard in the first hour of the show, like Gino Toretta did.
He's not Gino. He knows how this works. Gino was very shocked that the headlines in the second hour would sound similar to the headlines in the first hour.
Wait, they're the same?
I think we should start with
Kendall Fuller.
Ray Lewis, who was in the news this morning. I woke up. You had sent me that article, Hawk, that apparently Ray Lewis was the lead, or at least in the running,
was a candidate.
A candidate to land the FAU head coaching job after they fired their head coach earlier this week. But now I was reading on CBSSports.com, it seems unlikely that Ray Lewis will take that job.
Now, it wasn't Adam Schefter's story, but it doesn't seem like that was a legit possibility. Or doesn't seem like it is a legit possibility.
It seems more like Ray Lewis trying to get Ray Lewis into consideration by using the media.
I don't think it's the worst idea in the world, though.
It's probably a terrible idea to have someone who's never coached or been in that position at any level.
I mean, Dion.
But Dion was already a head coach before at multiple places.
I understand that. No. I mean, his first coaching job, what was it, at Jackson State?
But he coached his son in high school as well. I'm just saying, Ray Lewis has never been a head coach anywhere. We're going to throw him into the the daunting American Athletic Conference?
I don't know if it's a daunting conference, but it certainly would be easier to recruit people to FAU if Ray Lewis was knocking on your door.
And yeah, make him the director of player personnel.
All right.
Rob Pizzola has just logged
in. Hey, it's always fun to see Rob Pizzola. Rob Pizzola joins us on Wednesdays around this time. He is a professional sports gambler from the great nation of Canada, and he comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, which is part of the Hammer Betting Network. Forward Progress produces daily NFL betting content to keep you informed and help you get a step up on the books, and I could use that. Check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Pizzola. Hello, Rob.
Hello, Mark.
That is a long delay that we've got with Rob there. There is no way that we could do a segment with him on that kind of delay.
That was about a 4-second delay.
Yeah, that is not going to work. Well, Rob, we're going to have to let you go.
No, we don't have to let him go. We can call Rob Pizzola, get him on a landline.
All right, can we get you on the phone instead, Rob? We'll get you on the phone. He's giving us a thumbs up.
Okay.
All right, we're in some sort of internet delay hell here. I don't know exactly.
We should have tried that.
I don't know exactly what's going on. Should have tried what?
The delay.
Just to do the segment that way?
Try.
Sure, why not? I mean, it's whiskey, stars, and cigars.
I mean, what better time?
I mean, what better time to work out the kinks of the broadcast than to do it there? But actually, Solana had a good idea. I forgot you could have people on the phone. And shows you how much I know about radio. All right, let me vamp here for a second so that Solana can get Pizzola on the phone. We'll get some headlines. We'll get some picks from Rob Pizzola.
Did you have another bad weekend?
Gambling? Well, I didn't. So what I did was I stopped gambling because I don't want to just continue to punish myself by being terrible at it. So I picked one game. Instead of betting a bunch of games, I put a decent amount of money on one game. And then, of course, Kansas City getting the points. Because why would you ever not want Kansas City getting the points? And, in fact, that was a Rob Pizzola bet. And I, of course, caused Kansas City to have their first loss. But I do blame that on Rob Pizzola. But is he on the phone now? Is Rob there?
Yep. He's good to go.
I don't hear him.
I had fat fingers and accidentally hung up on old Rob. Give me a second.
I mean, honestly. I mean, what are we doing?
This is going to be a great messed up segment.
I mean, honestly. All right. We'll give it a second shot here.
If I'm Rob, I just don't answer.
Yeah, no, I absolutely move on to the next.
I feel so bad because I'm here cracking up and you guys got to be just mortified right now. And I feel terrible for laughing. I'm sorry. I don't feel terrible.
Why wouldn't you feel terrible? I mean, don't you have part of this show as well?
Chaos.
All right. Rob Pizzola is there now, I'm told. Rob, you've stuck with us through all of this?
I'm here. This is how we used to do it back in the day, Mark, if you recall. It was just phone, and you used to make fun of me for my Canadian connection, which hopefully is better nowadays.
Well, I literally was going to let you go this segment because I forgot that we could do this on the phone. That's how long it's been. But anyway, my friend Josh Appel here was just asking me if I had another bad weekend gambling, and I didn't. I did. I went 0-1, but I stopped gambling. I need to stop the bleeding, and so I made one bet only this weekend, and it was the Chiefs +2.5, which I know you liked as well.
Yeah, I bet some Chiefs last week. I bet some Chiefs teasers last week, which also lost. That was a pretty substantial loss for me last week. What are you going to do? You know, they were within the number for most of the game, and Josh Allen made a great play on 4th-and-2. And sometimes you just got to deal with it. So it happens. I took the L there. But it's good to hear that you're progressing as well, Mark. I was worried for you for a little bit there after that, you know, 15-game losing streak or whatever it was a few weeks ago. So one loss is definitely better than 15.
It was actually a 16-game losing streak, and you came on the air, because I had told you the night before via text, and you came on the air the next day, and you said you did the math, and that was a 50,000-to-1 chance of going 0-16, 1 in 50,000. And my friend Ryan, who owns Funky Buddha, had shipped to my house today wine glasses that say 50,000-to-1. And he said, every time you want to enjoy an Aperol Spritz, you can enjoy them in your 50,000-to-1 wine glasses to remind you that you had an 0-for-16 streak gambling. So I did get a nice little gift out of it.
I love that. That's very thoughtful of him as well. You know, sometimes in the moment, it really stinks when you lose 16 games in a row, is it better? You feel terrible.
It really does.
It's one of those things that you can look back on and laugh about. You'll get a lasting memory that'll make you laugh. I like gifts like that. I think that was very well thought of.
But what I'm trying to do is just slow play gambling up until Thanksgiving Day, because Thanksgiving Day, I'm going to hammer 85 different bets. So I'm just trying to temper it up until then, and when I get there, then I'll go all in. But let me give you some games here that you can pick. I picked the Dolphins game, obviously, and then the two biggest point spreads, because that fascinates me, because I know you like getting points, but man, these are some terrible teams getting points. So let me start with the Dolphins. You've got Dolphins 7-point favorites over New England on Sunday.
Yeah, a little bit of money in the market today for Miami. Some sports books have moved out to 7.5 on this game right now. Personally, I played some of the total over in this game. Most of the market is at 46 right now. I like the over all the way up to 47. And part of the reason why is that, I mean, Miami's offense has been super efficient since Tua has come back. I know that they're not throwing downfield anymore. A lot of teams are taking away, like, the deep crossing routes or the deep in routes that they used to run pretty frequently last year, but they still found a way to move it methodically downfield, even with Tua getting the ball out of his hands very quickly underneath. The one thing about the Patriots, they play a lot of man coverage on defense, and they don't have Christian Gonzalez shadow any receiver on one side of the field as well. So I think that works to Miami's advantage. They want teams to play man against them because they have man coverage beaters in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. So I think Miami will score in this game. I also think the Patriots offense is pretty undervalued right now. Ever since Drake May has come in, it's not an offense that's going to light you up, but it's much more efficient. They're basically operating as a league average offense since Drake May took over, and that was with several offensive line injuries. Their O-line is now healthy. It's not good, but it's healthy. And they had injuries to skill position players as well. And again, those players are back. They're not good, but at least they're healthy. It's a big upgrade. So if you get a situation where they're trailing the game like they were against the Rams last week, they can move the ball through the air as well. So I think mid-40s is too low here. You typically don't see the Dolphins totals priced in this range unless it's against a really bad opposing offense like you did with the Raiders last week, where they still went over in the game, and Gardner Minshew actually played pretty well. So I like the over here.
Think the Dolphins are going to make a little run for the playoffs? Are you buying what they're selling the last two games?
I am. I think, again, we talked about this when they were struggling with the backup quarterbacks, but Skylar Thompson, Tim Boyle, like these guys can't operate this type of offense that McDaniel wants to run. And I do think that they're very live. I'm not saying this because I'm on Miami radio, but neutral, I want to see Miami get into the playoffs. I'd love to see them be the seventh seed. I think that would make extremely fun matchup. So I'm rooting for them, and I do think that they're very live. Zach Sealer back as well in the D-line now, which helps with the interior pressure. So I think the Dolphins are a good football team. They were neck and neck with the Jets and Bills at the beginning of the year with how the market was valuing them, and then they suffered a bunch of injuries, but they're a great team again. So I'll be rooting for Miami.
All right, now I know you really root for Dallas. You're a Cowboys fan. You always have been. They're one of the bigger dogs this weekend. Washington is a 10-point favorite over the Cowboys. There's no way you can take the Cowboys in the points, can you?
I don't think so. Like, you know, I couch every week, and I don't know what the market continuously sees in them where people are willing to back them. In this particular matchup, it's still early. It's Wednesday. but they have three of their starting five offensive linemen who got injured on Monday night. So we have to wait to see on left tackle, left guard, right guard for them. You potentially have Jake Ferguson, their tight end, out. On defense, they're missing Deron Bland still, who hasn't come back from injury. Jordan Lewis, who's their slot corner. Kalen Carson, another corner of theirs, got benched last week. It's a mess of a team. So I just don't get, you know, the market sentiment towards the Cowboys and why people bet them. Now, in this particular matchup, you have to account for Washington, who has, you know, Jaden Daniels, I think, is clearly suffering from the rib injury. The offense hasn't been the same recently, but you have to apply some context to the situation. They've played the Eagles and the Steelers the past 2 weeks. Over the last, you know, month of the season, if not more than that, those have been two of the top five defenses in the entire league. Eagles have really come around. The Steelers' defense is the Steelers' defense. This is going to be a huge downgrade for Washington. I played a little bit of the Commanders' team total over 27.5 at -110. I like the Commanders to score in this game. I don't know that I can trust their defense. I think people really overrate their defense. And Cooper Rush, as bad as he's looked at times, he did move the ball on the Houston Texans defense. They just turned it over. And they don't have a running game. I don't want to trust Washington to cover the spread, but I do think they'll score points. So I'll take them, their team total, over 27.5.
All right, let me give you one more here. Rob Pizzola is with us. So Kansas City is an 11-point favorite on the road at Carolina. I'm guessing it's Bryce Young who's still the quarterback. They didn't go back to, who was it, Andy Dalton?
Yeah, it's still Bryce Young.
All right, so it's Bryce Young and the Carolina Panthers getting 11 at home from KC.
So on the surface to me, this seemed like a big number for a bit efficient offense, though. They don't have a lot of explosiveness. They don't throw downfield a lot. Everything is underneath. Typically, with teams like that, it's hard for them to blow the other team out. And Carolina had something after. They get a lot of reinforcements this week. Adam Thielen will be back. Their left tackle, Ike Ekwonu, is probably back as well. Jonathan Brooks is actually probably playing at running back for this team as well. It's a very different team than it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, because they're healthier now. The only problem in this game is the stylistic. Carolina has been generating some success on offense, has been in their running game. You know, Bryce Young he's played better since he's come back, but he's still well below average. And Chuba Hubbard has really opened things up for them. The problem is you cannot run on the Chiefs. Nobody can run on the Chiefs. They just have a very, very sound run defense. The way to beat them is to attack their second corner, and I don't think Carolina can do that. So, you know, if you had to play this game or you have to bet it in your pick'em pools or whatever, I would take the Panthers, but I'm not going to take them this week. This is one of the games on the card that I just don't like.
All right, fair enough. Rob Pizzola, I apologize about the technical issues that we have. We're on location, and we obviously had some latency issues, so I apologize. But I will remind everyone, Rob Pizzola comes to us courtesy of Forward Progress, part of the Hammer Betting Network, and you can check out Forward Progress on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow Rob on Twitter, at Rob Pizzola, and we're going to forge ahead for the next hour and a half. Rob, from this cigar bar, and hopefully we'll get our internet issues straightened out, but we appreciate your time as always.
No problem. Thanks for having me, Mark, and good luck with your one bet this week.
Well, I don't know if I can limit myself to just one again. I think that may have been a one-time situation, but whatever I do, I will certainly let you know.
All right, sounds good. Good luck with your bets this week.
All right, we're live at Tabacon Cigars and Spirits, and Josh Appel is here, and Solana, and Jimmy is here, dressed all dapper. So here's what we did to Jimmy Appel. We kind of intimated throughout the last couple of weeks that me and Crowder is at this Sports Business Journal event in New York, but he played along with us. We kind of intimated that we might be wearing suits or tuxedos, but we never said that we were. But we always talked about it in earshot of Jimmy. Hey, you wearing a suit? I think we ended the show yesterday. We were off the air, and Crowder said, are you guys wearing suits tomorrow? And I think Solana said, well, maybe not a tie. And but we always did that in earshot of Jimmy, and that's why Jimmy has shown up today in a sharp pair of slacks and a great-looking burgundy shirt. Was that burgundy?
It looks like, yeah, burgundy.
Yeah. Where'd you get that?
No idea.
Costco?
Probably Costco.
Yeah, that's a Costco shirt.
I think that hand that I like the best is just the combed hair.
I mean, he looks terrific,
right? He really does.
Looks terrific. Doesn't look like radio, as we said. So, Josh Appel, you're on the call this weekend. You're back in Seattle?
Yeah, I got Cardinals and Seahawks on Sunday.
That's a good game.
Yeah, battle for first place in the NFC West. The Cardinals won four in a row. That loss the Dolphins have against the Cardinals doesn't look like it was as bad of a loss. Obviously, the Dolphins would have liked to have not have blown that, but just to see what the Arizona Cardinals have become. All right. You say, all right, you lost to a good team.
Well, let me ask you then about the Dolphins. We can frame this as 15 minutes of game day uncensored. It's brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. Are you buying? Same thing I asked Pizzola. What the Dolphins are selling the last couple of games. You've seen a couple of wins. The Arizona game, you'd certainly love to have that. The Buffalo game, you almost had a chance to get that. But the last couple of games, they have wins. There is a pathway to the playoffs. They're certainly going to be the in-the-hunt team that gets talked about for a while. Are you buying them as a playoff team?
I think with Tua playing at this level, I think you have to. I mean, he's arguably playing some of the best football of his career since he came back from injury. And for the most part, the defense has been very good. I think that the only thing to be is encouraged by how they've been playing. They'll obviously still have the three tougher games left on the schedule, Green Bay, Houston, San Francisco. Those aren't going to be easy. And then, you know, just in the NFL, crazy things happen on a week-to-week basis. So, you know, you never know. But playing the way they have, there's no reason why they can't be in this until the very end of the season. Some people might dismiss the last couple of games as them beating inferior opponents, and yeah, that's fine. But this is how you want. This is the conversation we had last year. This is how you want them to look in these games. They're not eking out these victories. And it's a 2-score win at home against the Raiders. 34 points. I think the most impressive thing is that they've almost changed. I think Pizzola kind of mentioned this too. They've almost changed the identity of the offense in the sense that they're not fishing for the big plays all the time. But they have four double-digit scoring drives on Sunday against the Raiders, and obviously they put the game away with the big play to Jonnu Smith. That's what playoff teams do, right? They don't fish for the big play all the time.
Didn't we made the analogy yesterday of the Panthers and Paul Ball, where it's fun when you watch them put up 7-8 goals a game, and then Paul Maurice comes in, and he's like, no. This is how you advance in the playoffs. And there's probably some analogy to be made there when it comes to what you're seeing from the Dolphins versus what you had seen.
Look, at a certain point, complementary football means when you're playing a team that is better than you, better offense than you, great quarterback on the other side, you want to keep them off the field as much as possible. So if you're having these quick scoring drives, yeah, they're great, but your defense is gassed and the best player, which is in this case like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, is going to be on the field the whole time. So I think if they can keep up this, where they're able to have long drives and punch it in, I think that bodes well going forward in these tougher games. And I think we saw a version of that against Buffalo when they probably played them about as well as we've seen them in quite some time.
Yeah, and I'm with you, by the way. Like, I'm happy with the long drives. I'm happy with the different approach. Hawk Crowder and I discussed it yesterday, though. Why should we buy into it if it didn't work? Because to start this segment, you said that loss to Arizona is not looking too bad. They lost to a good team. But my issue with the Dolphins going back to last year was that they're incapable of beating the good team.
Totally.
So I understand what you're saying. Hey, they've shown that they're back on track. Clearly, Tua's playing some of the best football. I'm with you on all that. But before we can officially say we're buying in, don't we have to see this work against a good team? Maybe it is that Green Bay game on Thanksgiving Day.
No, absolutely. But, like, at the end of the day, wins and losses are what matter. But I'm looking at just, like, the style of play and the way they're playing. And are they getting, you know, we've seen how many, the first Buffalo game of the year, they were really never in that game. The game last year in Buffalo, where they were with them toe-to-toe the first couple drives, and then Buffalo just poured it on after that. It's that this year, I guess. But that point that you make is a totally fair one until they do it. And I'm not saying that I think they're going to go on a run and win out and make the playoffs. I just think that the version of this team right now is one that can at least be in the conversation and have something to play for until the end.
It's interesting, though, because we had Gino Toretta on in the 2 o'clock hour when we were talking about, or maybe it was the 3 o'clock hour when we were talking about it, but he was saying that essentially defenses have learned to not allow Tyreek Hill or Jaylen Waddle to have the deep ball. And Solana's saying, well, wait a second, that doesn't make any sense. How did they not know that beforehand? But is it a conscious decision by Mike McDaniel to change the offense, or maybe to say to Tua, hey, don't go for the home run. I'm much happier if you dink and dunk your way to the double-digit drives, like you say. Don't go for the home run unless it's a sure thing.
I don't think it has to be one or the other. I think it can be both. I think you just kind of take what the defense
but
is giving.
But it's noticeably different, though. You know what I mean? Like, it's noticeably different.
But the idea is that the more you keep taking what the defense gives you, the explosive plays are going to come out of that as a result. So I think it's an adjustment league, right? 5 years ago, we had multiple quarterbacks in this league throwing for 4,000, 4,500 yards, close to 5,000 yards, and defenses over the last couple seasons have adjusted. So people are, in general, complaining about the quality of quarterback play in this league, the quality of offensive play in this league. It's dropped so much. And yeah, maybe it has a little bit, but maybe we're just in one of those periods where the defenses are having their time, and the league will readjust itself again, and we'll see an offensive boom again. I happen to think the sports had a great year. A lot of close games. And I know that doesn't always mean that the games themselves are quote-unquote well-played. But and just for example, I was in Kansas City for that Denver game. The final score was 16-14. It was not some obvious shootout. There wasn't, you know, a million amazing plays in the game, but it was a close game with an incredible finish, and that's what everybody remembers. And so when you have games that are coming down to the end, is that not what you want?
By the way, you had a fantastic call. No, you did. You had a fantastic call on the blocked field goal.
Thank you very much.
That was very good.
That.
You hear Josh on Sports USA nationally, by the way.
It was a fantastic call. Tua today, though, said, we're still looking for the big play. We still want to incorporate that.
Of course.
We're just taking what the defense is giving us. I think a big criticism last year, as fun as it was to watch Tyreek Hill have the 100-plus yard games almost every single game and shoot for 2K last year, was the fact that the offense was one-dimensional. So even somebody like me who's still skeptical about this entire situation because I want to see them do it against a good team, I'm willing to concede, hey, it does look better all around as an offense that you're incorporating Jonnu Smith. Achane continues to be electric, and you have multiple players catching passes. When I say multiple, not 3, 4, 6, 7, 8 different guys making an impact in the passing game rather than Tua focused on one target.
You know, I was in some rabbit hole of 2024 quarterback draft prospects, you know, with the Caleb class from this past year, and there was a video that I saw of Jordan Palmer breaking down one of Caleb Williams' plays in college. Was one of his better plays where he scrambled around, threw a touchdown, Heisman moment for Caleb Williams. And Jordan Palmer said he stopped it, and he goes, I see a guy open at 6 yards, I see a guy open at 7 yards, and that's 2 first downs for me. And that's something he's going to have to learn when he gets into the league. And I think that there's been some version of that, generally speaking, with the Dolphins, where if teams are going to give you that Devon Achane dump-off, and he's going to take it for 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 yards at a time.
Why wouldn't you do it every time?
Take that. Teams are going to double Tyreek Hill. It's going to happen. All right, so now they got to focus more.
Don't you run a little bit of a risk, though? I said it to Gino. Don't you run a little bit of a risk of Tyreek getting unhappy, Jaylen Waddle getting unhappy, and having to deal with that?
Sure, but I think what we've also seen through this is that they're still getting their targets since Tua came back. You know, Tyreek finished, what, 61, 62 yards? Still had 7, 8 catches, right, and a touchdown. So he's getting to the end zone. He's not going to get his yardage.
Not going to get 2,000 yards doing that.
Well, I mean, there's listen, I think at this point he's got his money here. Whenever they get into the negotiations, I'm sure the Dolphins will be willing to pay, and if it's not them, somebody else will. I think the league is well aware of what Tyreek Hill's ability is when it comes to that. I think winning is the more important thing, and it's such a cliche, but like winning cures all. So when he's having these tough games and they're on a 4 or 5 game losing streak because they can't complete a forward pass – yeah, there's going to be some frustration. But when the offense as a whole looks like this and he's still getting his 7, 8, 9 targets a game, whatever it is, scoring a touchdown, what's he got to be unhappy about?
What do you think about Sunday? So the Dolphins are 7-point favorites. You heard Rob Pizzola handicap it. He likes the over. He didn't seem like he was going to bet a side on it. What do you see happening on Sunday?
I actually happen to agree with Pizzola. I might take the Dolphins team total again as well. Took it last week against Vegas.
What is the team total, do you know?
I would assume it's probably going to be somewhere around 23, 24. Was that 26.5 last week? I think there's probably a little more respect for the Patriots defense just in general than maybe the Raiders. But I think New England, he hit the nail on the head with Drake May. He brings a different dimension to that offense. Yeah, he might turn the ball over a time or two during the course of the game, but you watch them and they are definitely a different offense with him running it than they were with Jacoby Brissett. So they might run their way into 17, 20 points. Dolphins score into the mid to high 20s. There you have your over. So I think I might play a couple things there. 7 points is still a lot. And it's a divisional game. For whatever reason, the Dolphins and Patriots always play close games.
Yeah, so Dolphins' total points is 26.5 at plus 110 or 27.5 at minus 125. Player props for the game. Passing, Tua's at 244.5.
It's hard because they I don't know what kind of big have in this game. He might throw for 235, 240, play really efficient ball, and you know
they get out of there with a win, which is
right,
all they care about.
Right.
Drake May's at 208.5.
That might be a number because if they're down, they're
that's
be
what I'm thinking. If they're down, and you would hope that they are. I mean, I don't want to think about the otherwise. Tyreek Hill, 67.5 yards receiving.
That's such an insane number, thinking about what it was last year.
It's crazy because we talked about betting him over 100 yards receiving every game for 17 games. You're going to win more than you lose. He's got one game receiving over 100 yards?
First game.
I think anything around that number with Tyreek Hill, just like the Mahomes is an underdog. I think you at this point with Tua back, you kind of got to roll the dice there.
Here's my Tua rushing over is at 3.5 once again.
It didn't cash in, though.
I know. He didn't have one attempt.
How frustrating is it for you to watch when you take that bet where now he's actually got this skill where he's able to avoid pressure and scramble outside the pocket, and it looks like he's going to take off at the very last second?
There
like
were
three of them.
Two times, etched in my mind from last Sunday where he could have taken off, where it looked like he had a mile to run, but he actually completes a pass. It's not like he's not doing the right thing. That 3.5, though, is so damn tempting. Devon Achane, 68.5 rushing yards is the...
What about his rush plus receiving?
Over, under there. They don't have that yet. These are just like the beginning props.
It is funny, though, because the broadcast on CBS the other day was talking about how any time, and I think it was Ross Tucker, who happens to be very good, but he kept saying...
Can't decide. So at first he was annoying me. And I've heard him do bits of certain games, but this was the first time, and Ross Tucker's a friend of the show, this was the first time I listened to him for an entire game. By the end, I was in love with his analysis.
Great. He's great.
I thought he was just, he talks like a human.
Yeah. Yeah, he makes you understand it, but he kept saying early on in the game, see Tua scrambling out of the pocket, the Dolphins don't want that. Every time he extends the play, something bad happens. But most of Tua's good plays or best plays in that game, like the Jonnu Smith touchdown, came from Tua getting out of pressure, getting out of the pocket, being mobile, and then making a throw.
You know, you called Ross Tucker a friend of the show, but you also said that you thought he was annoying for the first part of the game. If he was joining the show, would you have told him that you thought he was annoying?
I think I would have. He's a big into honesty guy. We've had a fight before. Manny, that's Manny.
Whoa.
We've had a fight before with Ross Tucker. He doesn't like bread.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And I found that to be so odd because he's a Philly guy and he loves a cheesesteak.
And he's a big, oh, here's what the press box spread is at every game.
And he said, I don't want to waste my carbs on bread. And I get it.
I don't.
But you're a guy's guy. Like, your whole niche is that you're a guy's guy. You can't not like bread. So I do think I would tell him that I found him annoying at the beginning, but that he grew on me.
You know, I actually like that broadcast crew as well. It's the bottom tier of CBS.
Who's the play-by-play
Tom guy? McCarthy. He does college basketball, college football.
I thought he was very
good. And the Phillies. Yeah, so Tom McCarthy likes to joke sometimes that, you know, if we're on your game, it's probably not a really good game. I like that crew. I think they're great. Interesting that Jay Feely is
he's the worst out of the three.
Parlayed being a kicker into a game analyst.
He's the worst out of the three. He doesn't do anything.
He wore gloves and forearm bands as a kicker.
He did.
That's what I remember.
He's also a friend of the program. He was on with us once 6 years ago. Although I don't think Ross Tucker's been on for 2 years.
Well, we brought him on every like National Beer Day, and then I think he was like, all right, I got the point. How many times can I talk about beer with you guys? Because that was like our niche with him.
Right. Yeah. And there's like 14 beer days throughout the year, different types of beer days. Yeah, I do. I think he got tired of it. Yeah.
So what was it? Just, oh, do you like an IPA? Like,
yeah, it was actually drinking stories from him. And, man, he's one of the most prodigious drinkers that you will ever speak to. Where did he go? He's an Ivy League guy.
Yeah, he went to...
The Yale? Mm. I don't remember. But anyway, or Columbia? I don't know. But he is a prodigious drinker. So he's got great stories about drinking.
He went to Princeton.
Princeton,
yeah.
That's right.
Smart
Princeton
guy.
Man. Yeah. Anyway, Josh Bell's going to be here with us till 6 o'clock tonight. We're at Tabacón Cigars and Spirits in Plantation. At 6 p.m. is when the beginnings of Whiskey Stars and Cigars starts. And if you want to come on out here to Plantation, you're in the area, and you want to enjoy mingling with some 560 QAM folks like me and Appel and Solana and Jimmy and Joe Rose and Brendan Tobin, Leroy Hoare, Jay Figg. I could go on and on. If you want to come on out, we're at Tabacón Cigars and Spirits at Plantation Walk, and you come on out, 6 o'clock it gets underway, 7 o'clock it's really the sports talk portion of it, but we'll be out here doing the show till 6, and we'll keep you entertained up until then. 5 o'clock Funky Buddha Happy Hour. Speaking of beer, and Ross Tucker, you remember what he called Funky Buddha a million times on the show?
Funky Bruda, right? Funky Bruda.
Well, first of all, you said Funky Buddha, didn't you?
I said Bruda.
He said, oh, Bruda?
He
no.
Threw an R in there.
He kept saying Funka Buddha. Funka Buddha. Yeah. He couldn't get it right. Funka Buddha.
I think Ryan might take that into consideration, maybe for a brand.
Maybe a specialty beer, a Funka Buddha for Ross Tucker. So Appel almost kicked my computer right onto the floor. He's got these big hammy legs, you know.
Huge
yeah,
feet, man.
Yeah.
Glad he didn't kick mine.
Yeah, it's too much.
It's coming next.
Lucky he didn't kick you in the face, Jimmy. Be on your best behavior.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Holy cannoli.
Hawk and Crowder.